Why do you care if Lulu's tent is closed? Colette asked. You're a freak, not a fortune teller.
And why don't you want to stay here? Kevin asked. Caligari Carnival hasn't been very popular lately, but there's nowhere else for a freak to go.
Of course there is, Violet said. Lots of people are ambidextrous, Kevin. There are ambidextrous florists and ambidextrous air traffic controllers and all sorts of things.
You really think so? Kevin asked.
Of course I do, Violet said. And it's the same with contortionists and hunchbacks. All of us could find some other type of job where people didn't think we were freakish at all.
I'm not sure that's true, Hugo called over from the stove. I think that a two-headed person is going to be considered pretty freakish no matter where they go. And it's probably the same with an ambidextrous person, Kevin said with a sigh. Let's try to forget our troubles and play dominoes, Hugo said, bringing over a tray with six steaming mugs of hot chocolate. I thought both of your heads might want to drink separately, he explained with a smile, particularly because this hot chocolate is a little bit unusual. Chabo the wolf baby added a little bit of cinnamon. Chabo added it? Klaus asked with surprise, as Sonny growled modestly. Yes, Hugo said. At first I thought it was some freaky wolf recipe, but it's actually quite tasty. That was a clever idea, Chabo, Klaus said, and gave his sister a squinty smile. It seemed only a little while ago that the youngest Baudelaire couldn't walk, and was small enough to fit inside a birdcage, and now she was developing her own interests, and was big enough to seem half-wolf. You should be very proud of yourself, Hugo agreed. If you weren't a freak, Chabo, you could grow up to be an excellent chef.
She could be a chef anyway, Violet said. Elliot, would you mind if we stepped outside to enjoy our hot chocolate?
That's a good idea, Klaus said quickly. I've always considered hot chocolate to be an outdoor beverage, and I'd like to take a peek in the gift caravan. Rawr,
Sunny growled, but her siblings knew she meant, I'll come with you, and she crawled over to where Violet and Klaus were awkwardly rising from their chair.
Don't be too long, Colette said. We're not supposed to wander around the carnival. We'll just drink our hot chocolate and come right back, Klaus promised. I hope you don't get in trouble, Kevin said. I hate to think of the Tagliatelle Grande hitting both of your heads.
The Baudelaires were just about to point out that a blow from the Tagliatelle Grande probably wouldn't hurt one bit, when they heard a noise which was far more fearsome than a large noodle waving in the air. Even from inside the caravan, the children could hear a loud, creaky noise they recognized from their long trip into the hinterlands.
That sounds like that gentleman friend of Madame Lulu's, Hugo said. That's the sound of his car. There's another sound, too, Colette said. Listen.
The children listened and heard that the contortionist had spoken the truth. Accompanying the roar of the engine was another roar, one that sounded deeper and angrier than any automobile. The Baudelaires knew that you cannot judge something by its sound any more than you can judge a person by the way they look. But this roar was so loud and fierce that the youngsters could not imagine that it brought good news.